This is the calm before the storm, before the surge. And when it comes, and it will come, never will so many ask so much of so few. We'll do all that we can to support them.
COVID-19 officially arrived on our shores on Thursday, February the 27th, 2020. As the case count began to rise, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar announced on the 12th of March the beginning of the restrictions in this country. While weeks have passed, we have adapted to a new normality, adhering to strict new guidelines in an effort to suppress the virus. But the effects of these new restrictions have not been the same on everyone. This 10-part series looks at the effect that COVID-19 has had on people with disabilities in our community and on their carers. These are their stories. Claire Nash is the Adult Services Manager for Enable Ireland based in Cork. She explains what the impact of COVID-19 has been like for people with disabilities who use their service.
The main impact that we're finding with people is the social isolation. We, you know, I suppose for a lot of people with disabilities, where their social life outside of the family home, a lot of people wouldn't have that come to us wouldn't have huge social networks outside of our services, and therefore rely on us a lot for their outside of their immediate family socialisation. And the impact for them then is that they feel very socially isolated from their friends. A lot of people that they'd meet in the day service they'd meet within the centre, but then if we're not facilitating a meeting either in the evenings or during the day, then they don't get to meet each other. So there are people who would be in relationships in our centre, but they would really only meet up when they're coming to our service. So for them, you know, they've not had much contact or, you know, been able to meet up with their boyfriend or their girlfriend as part of it. Fear as well is something that people are expressing to us. Fear about our services never being the same again, what it means for them. Fear about when we do reopen, what could happen, you know, how will that look for them, and the risks associated with COVID would be another one, you know, that people are expressing to us. Do we have adequate PPE? Is the centre ready for people to come back to? And we also run a respite service in Ladysbridge, and that covers all of Cork and Kerry. And again, people are, you know, looking forward to coming back to respite, but also anxious about, you know, how many people will be there, what are the risks, what are the preventative measures that we're putting in to protect people.
Many disability services have had to adapt in order to deal with COVID-19.
I suppose in the initial stages, we were able to, like when our day centre closed, when the physical building closed, we were able to support people out in the community. Because full lockdown hadn't come in and cocooning hadn't come in at that point. But because there's up to between 90 and 100 people could be in our building on any one day, it was important that, you know, we were working on the physical distancing measures and we weren't able to provide that safely with that number of people. And so I suppose based on the HSE guidelines, our building closed, but we were able to provide support to people in the community initially. And then when cocooning came in, we had to move to a more virtual service. So we moved into supporting people through phone contact initially. And then I suppose our staff team kind of looked at what else could be done within that. And we created a closed Facebook page so that people can post things, service users and staff, to stay in contact. And the visual connection was very important for people because the phone calls don't work for everybody, and a lot of the phone calls were between our staff and the family member as opposed to the person themselves. So it was important to establish a way of linking in with people then visually as well. And then I suppose we've expanded that now, and our Dublin services piloted the development of a virtual day service. So essentially running the service that we had run pre-COVID, but through a virtual means. So developing all the sessions that we did, like art and literacy, numeracy, assistive technology, all of those areas, and doing it through a virtual method. And Microsoft teamed up with Enable Ireland to help us to develop this and deliver it. So it rolled out in Dublin, and then it's been expanded across the country. So in Cork now, we're just getting ready to roll it out. We've done a trial week this week, and next week then we'll be rolling it out to families to support people to kind of become more engaged and to kind of continue on with the programs that they would have been doing with us in the day service, but through a virtual means. Since the lifting of the restrictions about 3 weeks ago, we started to go back out to deliver services to people in the community. And I suppose we've worked on a risk base and a prioritisation base as to the families through the phone contact that we would have had, and through guidelines from the HSE, we would have worked on a kind of a risk assessment to look at those in highest need, and delivering kind of face-to-face services. So taking people out for a spin, maybe getting a takeaway coffee, going to places like maybe Yall Beach, you know, where you've got a big promenade there where it's safe to go for a walk, and safe to get out and about. So we'd be delivering that, and say last week we've delivered that to 25 people. There are challenges with that because we have very limited transport, and obviously our staff can't, it's difficult to deal with multiple people within a day because you can only take one person in a bus at a time. So there are challenges associated with that, but we're looking now with families as to ways around it and whether they'd be willing to drop somebody to a location so that we can have, you know, a couple of people, obviously with safe physical distancing, meeting up and going together for a walk and having coffee outside or, you know, things like that.
The inability to physically attend services has also had a very real impact on those who care for people with disabilities.
It has had a massive impact on the carers because I suppose the day service was essentially, you know, a respite for people during the day to support people to either go to work and to have a social outlet for themselves, because being a carer 24/7 means that, you know, you can never step away and you can never have that break. And the day service, in the way that it did function, allowed people to have that break. Certainly, again, like huge impact on social isolation for carers because of their concerns of the risk of their loved one catching COVID as well. So, you know, they all had to cocoon within their home. One parent was telling me today that he is a lone parent to an adult child with a disability, and his home support services got cut as well about 2 weeks into this. And he was saying that the impact of that, like his daughter needs two people to support with hoisting and just meeting her basic needs. And because that got cut, he then had to deliver that care, and that's four times a day to her. So he never had the opportunity to have a break, because normally when the carers would come in, that would be his chance to run out maybe and get a bit of shopping done, or just even to go for a walk and have a little headspace for himself. But he said because of that, that he just, he had no opportunity to have a break over the last 3 months, and it has taken its toll on him, and I know on other families as well. It really has had a significant impact on them, you know. We, like, have a lot of families contacting us now, concerned for their loved ones' mental health. You know, they're saying that their mood is low, they're becoming, you know, less engaged. But also, a lot of our staff have spent a lot of time talking to families and supporting them. So our approach when our service closed was not just about supporting the individual with the disability, but also the families. And many of our staff have spent many hours a week talking to families and just being there for them and being that sounding board for them to be able to talk and express their concerns and worries for themselves, for caring for others, and, you know, things like that, that really have, like, has had a massive impact. And yeah, I mean, I had an email during the week from a parent just saying, you know, she was really worried about her son. You know, his mood is very low. He's crying a lot. And what can we do? And then I suppose once we have that information, we reassess and look and see what we can do within the limited resources. I suppose, like, that is a massive challenge for us as a service. We really, you know, try as a service, Enable Ireland, to deliver the best that we can to people, and our staff go over and above really in what they can do. But the challenge is that we are, you know, desperately underfunded, and the impact of that for us to be able to deliver the service that we really want to is, you know, is a challenge in itself. And especially with moving forward, I suppose we would envisage that we would move forward through a three-pronged approach, which would be to have a percentage of service users in a centre base, and then to do a community base, which is what we're delivering now, you know, taking people out and about within the community safely. And then an element of virtual service will have to continue as well. But we see a huge benefit to the virtual service, that for people, even in the longer run, that if they're at home and unwell, we often would have people who become unwell and maybe have to stay at home for a number of weeks pre-COVID, but they would never have had contact with us. So now we see a massive benefit in the virtual service, even after COVID, to be able to support those people. So there is a positive has come from it, you know.
Some people are questioning if the government failed to include people with disabilities in the roadmap to reopening the country.
I can certainly see why people felt that. I suppose we would have, like in Cork, we would have looked at the people that we supported within the vulnerable group. And I suppose we would have worked with people on that basis then. But yeah, I can absolutely see where people are coming from, because there was no specific guideline there for them with that. And even for the reopening of respite, there still seems to be a lot of confusion about it at the moment as to whether there has to be a 14-day isolation for people to come in. We're still waiting to hear clarifications on elements of that. Before we can look at reopening those types of services, you know. So I can see where people felt that they were just, you know, not given the respect that they deserved and not given the guidance that they really deserved as part of the reopening plans, you know. Have, you know, our website. So if you look up the Enable Ireland website, and I suppose right across the country, then each location has its main email. So you can email info.cork@enableireland.ie, but also our website gives very good guidance on where we are as an organisation and what supports are available there.
This is a Community Radio YAWL production.
made with the support of CCAD under Goal 1 of the CCAP 2020 programme.